Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to yet another edition of TGP Radio. As always, I'm your host, Ben, and let's get this week's show underway. Week two this week, obviously. Week two comes after week one. That's how it works. And some decent slate of action this week. Pretty decent. Last week, I actually had a decent week picking the games for once, which seems like it never happens. And if it does, it's a random one-off thing or just weird things in general happen. Not too many weird things happened last week, seemingly. I did have a couple weird results. Cardinals should have won. Should have, which means that the New England Patriots aren't going to lose a game all season. Because if you can be without Gronk, without Tom Brady, without your two starting tackles, then and still win against a, suppose a playoff team like the Cardinals are, then, you're probably not going to lose a game all season. That's how things go. So things work. That hyperbole a little bit, sort of, but, I mean, it's the New England Patriots, and unfortunately that's how things work for nobody else but them, because, again, that's how things work. This week, get things started. Already had a game this week, obviously, Thursday. Jets and Bills. Thought the Bills might take it, and things were looking decent there for a while, but they didn't. Greg Roman gets himself fired as Rex Ryan and company kind of throw him under the bus. Seemingly, the ownership, front office, threw him under the bus, and I will be curious to see how these offensive coordinator changes anything. But again, it's sort of Buffalo. Blas, if you're out there listening, I apologize. But it's Buffalo. I'm not certain anything's the answer there. I'm not certain Tyrod's the answer. Obviously, with Sammy Watkins banged up, that doesn't help things. The running game isn't there. And it's just sort of a mess. I'm not sure how much throwing the offensive coordinator under the bus is going to change things, but we shall see. So there's that, and I guess now we'll jump into this week's slate of games. I guess we'll try to cover all of them. The Razor said he was going to try to call in, so that might at that point we might bounce around to only the interesting games, but we'll give this a shot. To begin with, all right, first game here, San Francisco 49ers take on the Carolina Panthers. San Francisco starts out 1-0. Which is great. Blaine Gabbert gets the win last week, which is great. Unfortunately for them, played the Rams. The Rams aren't any good, as we found out. Offense is terrible. And, they get a win. I would absolutely love for the 49ers to get a win here this week. It'd be funny. I might be sleeping on Carolina quite a bit for some reason. Just, I don't know. You lose to Trevor Siemian, a quarterback, last week, opening Thursday. And I guess that just makes me think really poorly of the team, even though I shouldn't. Cam's great. Jonathan Stewart's solid. That defense is solid. And yet, I do think that San Francisco can win this, which I shouldn't. That should be impossible to think, and I should be crazy. But I am crazy, but I don't know. I just get this weird feeling that San Francisco is going to keep it competitive. No reason why. That 49ers defense is solid. Granted, last week wasn't a great test because, as we found out, hey, the Rams are terrible. So perhaps that's not a great indication, but defense is solid, running game is solid. Blaine Gabbert can avoid getting sacked and avoid turning the ball over like he did last week. I think they're going to put themselves in a decent shape to contend, at the very least, in this game. I don't think they're going to get blown out. I think they're going to be able to keep it close, but Panthers are probably going to win. Probably. Maybe. Perhaps. But, yeah, do that. All right, next game, Baltimore Ravens take on the Cleveland Browns. And you've got to feel sorry for Cleveland fans. 3-3. You finally think you've got a quarterback. And the very first game of the season, he gets put on IR due to a shoulder injury. So that's great. For them, not really. So in comes Josh McCown, quarterback again, which I don't know, might be decent, might not be. RG3 wasn't great last week before getting hurt, but it seems like there's a little bit more weapons on offense now than there was, minus Gary Barnage being pretty much invisible last week, which you got to figure with McCown being back that Barnage will come back to being relevant like he was last season. But, you know, guys like Terrell Pryor, Corey Coleman, et cetera, doing some decent work last week, things considered. Things might sort of be looking up for Cleveland in a weird way. Baltimore, last week saw the potential resurgence of Mike Wallace, which is fascinating. It's a good thing, because he's had seemingly very little success since leaving Pittsburgh, which, you know, part of that has to do with quarterback play, which getting paired with a solid quarterback now should help him out tremendously. And as we saw last week, the deep speed and deep threat still there, so that's a pretty big plus for the Ravens as long as that continues. For this, you know, you've got to hand it to Cleveland. Got to feel for Cleveland. I do think Baltimore takes this. Again, I just trust Baltimore more. I think they've turned things around. They're finally healthy compared to what they were last season, which isn't necessarily saying all that much because the entire team seemingly was put on IR, but you know, they're healthy, things are going all right, and I think they should be able to take this. Could be a fight, comes out in the end. All right, let's see here. Tennessee Titans take on the Detroit Lions. And again, Tennessee, another team that you've got to feel for. Things, you know, Mike Mularkey gets a lot of hate, but, you know, going into the season, you've got Marcus Mariota. You've got a decent core. The wide receivers are somewhat of an issue, but, you know, you still got Delanie Walker. You bring in DeMarco Murray at running back. You draft Derrick Henry. So the running game should be fine. Mariota should be fine. And then, you know, season opener happens. You're faced off against a Teddy Bridgewater-less Minnesota Vikings team. You're up 10-plus at halftime. Vikings haven't won a road game in which they're losing by 10-plus at halftime since, like, 1998, something like that. A tremendously terrible streak. And then the Vikings manage to come back because the Titans are awful. And if you're a Titans fan, that hurts. Mariota wasn't good. And it's kind of funny because you figure, you know, without Bridgewater and with Adrian Peterson being awful last week, that's a very good shot for victory. But, you know, I guess bad teams do have a way of snatching defeat from the jaws of victory, as it were. This week they're facing a much improved Detroit Lions team. Matt Stafford has definitely turned things around. Anybody that was concerned about Calvin Johnson retiring and the effect it would have on Matt Stafford should probably be breathing a sigh of relief this season so far. I mean, 31 of 39 for 340 yards, 3 touchdowns. That's pretty solid. Pretty solid. Can't go wrong with that. So things are looking up for them offensively. And again, you've got to expect that until Tennessee can turn things around offensively, then they're just not going to be much of a threat. There's not. And I can't in good conscience pick them to win a game. I just can't. I thought Mariota would be better. Thought that was going to be the one bright spot, but can't do it. I got to take the Lions. Now maybe things change this week. Maybe things get better, but there's also a good possibility that they don't. If Stafford plays anything like he did last week, this should be a pretty easy win for the Lions. Pretty easy win. All right. Next game. What do we got here? Yes. Kansas City Chiefs take on the Houston Texans. Kansas City, nice little AFC West matchup last week. Against the Chargers, came back from a crazy deficit down, 20 plus here. Yeah. Internet's slow this evening. So, yeah, 21-3 at the half, come back to win. 33-27 overtime. Crazy. Which, again, probably had something more to do with who they were playing. Still don't think the Chargers are all that good. Obviously, losing Keenan Allen for the season again is awful. Yeah. So, Chiefs come back last week. Houston, on the other hand, Osweiler last week looked all right. Managed to beat Chicago 23-14. Running game was solid. Lamar Miller has got to be probably ecstatic being able to tote the rock. Finally, 28 carries. 20-plus carries, which is something that very infrequently happened in Miami. So you got to figure he's thrilled about that. And, again, things are looking up for Houston, which is good for them. Not exactly good for me or the rest of the AFC South, but good for Texans and their fans. I think Osweiler was a huge question mark going into the season. Not exactly sure of what he was going to do, especially considering how kind of average he was last season with Denver. So, things are perhaps looking up for Houston. This game, toss up for me. I should probably go Houston. I don't think Spencer Ware is going to blow up like he did last week, this week. I don't think it's going to happen. It very well could happen. It's probably not going to happen. I mean, you almost have 200 combined rushing and receiving yards from one player. Don't think that's I don't think that's obviously a very easily repeatable stat line. Might have a solid performance nonetheless, but not really feeling it. I guess with this one, I will take I'll take Houston. Still Kansas City. You can't go down 21-3 at the half. Can't do that. And if you do that against Houston, you will likely lose. I do like Alex Smith. And, there is that, but I don't think that we'll see the same Chiefs team last week, this week. So, I guess with that, give me Houston. All right. Let's see here, close the tabs. The, radio chat didn't load either. That's all right. Internet issues. All right. Let's see here. Miami and New England. AFC matchup. Miami coming off a very surprisingly hard-fought loss against the Seattle Seahawks last week. Actually thought Miami might be able to hold on, but Russell Wilson worked his Russell Wilson magic and was able to get things done, which is pretty interesting, the fact that, you know, I expected Miami to not put up that much of a fight. They seemingly got the weapons for it, but with Tannehill quarterback, you're never quite sure what you're going to get. Obviously, the running back situation is the best, having Arian Foster and Jay Ajayi there, both guys kind of banged up and average situation. So there's that, but they're home with Seattle. This week they get a test with New England. Gronkowski, I believe, is questionable still. I'd love to say that's a huge loss for New England if he sits out again. But, you know, it was a huge loss last week, too, and they still managed to win, which how New England is able to, you know, just essentially plug and play, come up with game plans that, you know, completely negate the effects of player loss is, it's magical. There's some witchcraft and wizardry that goes along with that team that is just absolutely absurd. And because of that, I have to take New England this week. I mean, would I love to see Miami win? Yep, I would. But, you know, there's nothing there that leads me to believe that's going to happen. Like I said, the witchcraft and wizardry that keeps this New England Patriots team glued together and intact, no matter who they roll out there on the field, is nothing short of impressive. So until cracks in the armor show and they seem like they're beatable, then yeah, maybe I'll pick against them. But until then, I can't. Wish I could, but I can't. Let's see here. Next game, New Orleans Saints, New York Giants. Saints coming off a loss last week against the Raiders that they seemingly should have won. They didn't. The Giants, of course, coming off a win against the Dallas Cowboys, their first opening week win against the Cowboys ever, which is impressive. Dak Prescott kind of, you know, if Tony Romo were there, that's probably a different result. Giants didn't look amazing last week, but, you know, you did enough to get it done, and that works. This week, New Orleans still has pretty much the same New Orleans team. Solid offense, solid to great offense, and very average defense. And that seems to be the Saints' MO. Has been 3 years. Seems like it will remain that way. Brees throws for 423 yards and a loss. 423 yards, 4 touchdowns, and they lose. And that also is the Saints' MO, seemingly. So you got to figure this week you would expect a high scoring game. Eli Manning and Odell Beckham, you got to figure those guys should combine for quite a bit. Not to mention the fact that Sterling Shepard looks solid. Victor Cruz is back, or at least on the verge of returning to his former self. So that's a very solid receiving core. Even got some work out of the running backs last week. So in this case, I trust New York's defense more than I trust the Saints' defense to contest anything, to stop anything. And, Eli Manning and company roll. I feel pretty good about this pick. Going in, like I said, I would expect a high-scoring affair. Who knows if it actually happens or not, but kind of what I expect. And it should be a very entertaining game. And I think That is one of the games that I get tomorrow before my Jags come on at 4. So that will be pretty entertaining to take a listen to or take a watch and see how it goes. All right. Next game here. Cincinnati Bengals take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Cincinnati getting a win, 1-point win against the Jets last week. Pittsburgh obviously getting a somewhat tad concerning victory against the Redskins. I don't really say tad concerning because things were looking all that great early on. Obviously, you know, the game's 4 quarters. They were able to turn around against Washington and get the victory last week. Washington isn't Cincinnati. I do think they're going to have a tough time this week doing that. Obviously, Antonio Brown is a threat to go off any week. I don't think you're going to see a repeat stat line of his this week. However, I probably shouldn't in this case, but I'm going to take the Bengals since he's at home, and I just feel better about that than I do picking the Steelers. I feel like I should pick the Steelers, but I'm not going to. Just for reasons, I guess. Dalton, A.J. Green, fun combo last week. Hopefully that continues. And I don't know. This, in the end, I mean, this is pretty much a coin flip game. But I guess I'll give the advantage to Cincinnati since they're at home. Just how it goes. I think this is going to end up being game of the week. At least on paper it is. And, yeah, should be highly entertaining. I think I need to check and see what games I actually get. I've forgotten. I know just in the end, the 4 o'clock games I get the Jags, and that's really all that matters. But I do want to say that I get Giants Saints because the Bucs are playing the Arizona Cardinals. And since that's the case, that's a late game. I don't get Bucs games. And, yeah, well, that's enough about me rambling on about what games I get. That's not entertaining at all. Let's see here, next game. Dallas Cowboys take on the Washington Redskins. Cowboys and Indians. Always fun. Always entertaining. Dak Prescott last week. Decent start. Not quite preseason Dak that we're used to seeing. But still a solid game nonetheless from him. A couple things go better for him. Terrence Williams gets out of bounds there at the end. Maybe get one last desperation heave down the field since obviously it was outside of field goal range. But, you know, you get a desperation heave, maybe the result turns out different. You know, wasn't terrible for him, wasn't great. Luckily, you get a nice rebound this week against Washington. You've somewhat got to be a tad concerned about the Prescott to Dez Bryant connection, which was non-existent last week. I think Dez was held to, one reception for 8 yards or something like that. Something pretty awful. And you've got to figure you've got a weapon in Dez. Use him. Obviously, the game plan kind of dictates what you're going to do. You do have a rookie quarterback. Somewhat going to limit what you call, how you play, et cetera. But you got to figure, though, for the Cowboys to have sustained success, can't talk, that the Dez needs to be involved frequently. Plus, folks, you know, for those of us who have them in fantasy, who can't be having one reception game from Dez. And really, again, as we've said in the past, that's all that matters is fantasy. It's the only thing that matters in the end. So, with this, ideally, Washington would be reeling from last week's loss against Pittsburgh and end up with issues that allowed Antonio Brown to run wild. Who knows if that'll actually happen, though, but you got to figure, you know, maybe Dez isn't quite Antonio Brown, but he should still have essentially a field day against that Washington defense. And with that being said, I'm going to take the Dallas Cowboys to get the win. And Kirk Cousins and company fall to 0-2 on the season.
Yes.
All right. Let's see here. Next game. Finally, that Dallas Cowboys, that was the last of the 1 o'clock games. Now moving into the 4 o'clock games. Decent slate. Tampa Bay Buccaneers face off against the Arizona Cardinals in Arizona. Tampa Bay coming off a nice win last week against the Falcons. Arizona, obviously, coming off a very, very disappointing loss against the Patriots last week. It would bring me joy, I believe, to see Tampa Bay win this, because it means that Arizona isn't the team that we thought they were, and that by retroactively makes last week's loss against the Patriots better, because Arizona isn't who we thought they were. And that makes me feel better. I'm not entirely certain why, but it does. You've got to figure that offense, Jameis Winston, very, very good last week. That connection with Mike Evans is solid. On paper, though, the Arizona defense is a lot better than the Atlanta Falcons defense that the Bucs faced last week. And you've got to figure that that Arizona should be able to not necessarily shut down Tampa Bay's offense, but at the very least limit it from doing that much. And with that, you've got to take the Arizona Cardinals. Got to feel comfortable about it. Again, it's entirely possible that they lose because they're not any good, and that could be and that's a very good possibility. Seemingly good possibility. I've hated on Arizona in the past. The hate has diminished significantly, and of course now that it has, the Cardinals potentially might not be any good, which is hilarious how that works out. But I do think this week Arizona should bounce back from last week's disappointment. Next game, Seattle Seahawks travel to L.A., take on Los Angeles Rams. Rams are terrible. Terrible offense, terrible defense, even though the defense shouldn't be. But nonetheless, they let the 49ers put up 28 on them. Seattle has got to be looking for, you know, despite the fact that they did get a win last week, you've got to figure that you're not looking, you know, that's not how you're looking to win. Things are, you certainly want to win more in dominating fashion. Thomas Rawls should be getting a start again this week, should be getting a start back this week, I should say. You got to figure Christine Michael will still be worked in there quite a bit. I mean, on paper, this should be pretty much an open and shut game for the most part. I mean, it's Seattle, it's the Rams, and that should be it. But then, you know, kind of got to realize that for whatever reason, it seems like the Rams always give the Seahawks trouble. Always. Rams aren't any good, but they do. These games are always hard fought for whatever reason. I think kind of at this point, though, the Rams are in a little worse shape than they have been. I'm not entirely certain how that's possible. I mean, still got Todd Gurley, who was largely ineffective last week. You spend first overall pick on a quarterback who's last week wasn't even active. This week, apparently, he's the second stringer. You got to figure if Case Keenum's terrible again, then questions probably get involved on whether or not Goff should start, which, you know, 2 weeks into the season, that's a little early to make that kind of decision. For everything I've seen, Jeff Fisher would love to sit Goff for the entire season, which seemingly every season we get a quarterback or two that everybody says, oh, it would be great if they sat the season, and they end up never doing that, or people saying that they need to sit the season and they don't end up doing it. It'd be kind of cool to see it actually happen, but the pressure is going to be too big, too much if Case Keenum is still awful, which, you know, going up against Seattle this week, things aren't going to get any easier than they were last week. So, despite the Rams' history against Seattle, still taking Seattle. I can't pull the trigger on the Rams. Can't do it. Like to, can't do it. All right. Indianapolis taking on the Broncos. This is like the primetime CBS late game. For the most part, most of the country gets this. I don't know why. This does not need to be a thing anymore. Peyton Manning is no longer playing for the Broncos. There is nothing that ties these two teams together other than being in the AFC. There's no need for this game to be essentially primetime, a nationwide game. It's just not. Granted, you know, I'm not entirely certain whether the game you put on there nationwide, because it's not like the afternoon slate's all that great. But still, it does not need to be. It just doesn't need to be a thing. It doesn't need to be. There's nothing compelling here in this matchup at all. Last week, Broncos squeak out a win against the Panthers. Colts struggle a little bit against the Lions. And really, if you can't beat the Lions and that defense, what exactly are you going to do against Denver and its defense? Because really, the only thing you have going for you is Trevor Siemian and the mistakes that he can essentially make. But, and again, what do his mistakes add up to, though, if you can't do anything against that defense? Andrew Luck threw 4 touchdowns last week. Not going to throw 4 touchdowns this week. And until proven otherwise, that defense of Denver's is still legit, absolutely legit, despite losing all the pieces they lost last season. Still solid, and I just don't trust Indianapolis enough yet. I don't. Andrew Luck was good. Frank Gore, that running game, it does not inspire me in the slightest. So, got to go Denver here. All right, let's see here. Next game, Atlanta Falcons take on the Washington Redskins. Excuse me. Why? I don't know why I said that. Take on the Oakland Raiders. That Redskins on my mind for some reason. Both of these games teams' results last week already pretty much covered. Atlanta lost to the Bucs, pretty much got destroyed by them. Oakland gets a nice win against the Saints last week. I think Oakland here continues their win streak against the NFC South. Having Atlanta, I think you're seeing perhaps a different Oakland team, a team that's another year older, another year of experience. Derek Carr and Amari Cooper are a nice little tandem. You throw in Latavius Murray, a running back, got a solid running back. The defense is decent. And, maybe Jack Del Rio finally has himself a solid team for seemingly the first time in forever. I mean, I know the Raiders were all right last year, but I think this those Jags teams in their prime that were they were so good for like a year. I mean, 2004, 2005, we were actually good. Seems so long ago. Well, I guess because it was a decade ago, so it was long ago. So, yeah, that defense got shredded by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last week. I expect that defense to also get kind of abused by Oakland this week. You know, it's only one game. You can't necessarily, you know, say that things are going to be remains and unchanging about a certain thing, especially like the defense, and say that, okay, this is what it's going to be the rest of the season. But until things change, that's where I'm going with. That Atlanta's defense is going to be terrible, and that Oakland's offense is going to be good to great. So Oakland wins. Plus, they're home. So I'm going to go with the home team. Feels good. Go with the home team. All right, next game, my Jags travel to San Diego, take on our arch nemesis, the San Diego Chargers. I don't know what it is about the San Diego Chargers. We just can't beat them. Phillip Rivers is typically amazing when facing us. I think in the last three games or something, he's like 8 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, a bazillion yards, seemingly. And, yeah, it's just bad luck. Well, it is a little promising. We put up a fight last week against the Packers. Came close to winning but didn't, which I guess that's typical Jags fashion. We fought. We didn't get blown out as we would have in the past. So I think things are looking up in that regard. Perhaps things are maybe looking better now. Maybe we're somewhat turning the corner. That'd be nice. But, again, who knows if that's actually accurate. Obviously, we're going to need more than 1 week to make that determination. Even with San Diego losing Keenan Allen for the year, they still got Phillip Rivers, again, who's our kryptonite. Which, actually, that's a terrible analogy because that would imply that we're Superman and we're anything but. So, yeah, he's just our nemesis. And we can't deal with him. So I expect San Diego to win, but would be pleasantly surprised if we're able to come up with a victory and bring me joy, make me happy, start off the season at least 1-1. If that doesn't happen, yeah, things could be ugly. All right, Sunday night, which this is another one, like the Colts and Broncos, this shouldn't be a thing. This should not be a primetime thing. Nobody cares about Minnesota. Nobody wants to see Minnesota in prime time. It's just ew. Just ew. It does look like the Vikings will be starting Sam Bradford this week instead of Sean Hill. So there's, obviously they traded for him. And that's what you're going to do. To roll him out there. Adrian Peterson looked terrible last week, which is, you know, for everybody essentially saying that Adrian Peterson is immortal and going to run forever. Perhaps we're showing, perhaps he's showing signs of slowing down. Of course, it is also possible. It's only 1 week, and the reports of his running demise have been greatly exaggerated. But again, that remains to be seen. This should be an easy win for Green Bay. It should. It's a division game, so that always complicates matters, makes things a little bit tougher than they potentially should be. But, you know, unless Bradford just goes off, Peterson is back to his young self, I guess. Don't want to say old self because he is his old self. So, I mean, there's that. But, you know, you've got questions on whether or not Sam Bradford has enough control and knowledge of the offense to make things work. So, I mean, there's just so much working against Minnesota at this point that you've got to figure that Green Bay should win this pretty handily. I mean, you got to expect it. You just have to. And then finally, Monday night. And I think this will actually be a solid Monday night game. Might not be the greatest game on paper, but I think it'll end up being solid. Philadelphia Eagles take on the Chicago Bears. Philadelphia and Carson Wentz, surprisingly enough, got a win last week. I underestimated how bad the Browns are going to be, and I underestimated Carson Wentz. He looks solid again. Not exactly sure if that was just playing the Browns or if solid is what he is. I think we'll get a probably better indication this week, although it's not, you know, not necessarily saying that the Chicago has a great defense anymore, but it, at the very least, it's better than the Browns. So that'll be a better test. So yeah, you got that. Chicago, again, last week coming off a loss against the Texans. Kyler played all right. You got decent production out of Jeremy Langford. There's enough pieces there that at least pieces on that offense that things are looking all right for Chicago. And I think, you know, going up against a rookie quarterback,